Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is round 11 all wrapped up. My name is Heath, and the first question I ask every week is your highlight of the week. So, Brenton, you got a highlight of the week past?
Well, following my previous week's highlights, and because I've been doing fuck all except for watching basketball all day, obviously people would have seen online, most people anyway, about game one in the playoffs.
NBA Championship Series.
Yep. Cavs looking to be, I think that might be the longest odds you've had at team for a long, long time. LeBron scores 51 on his own back. Like, amazing clutch threes. Undone by his teammates, which has sort of been the problem with the Cavs, is there's LeBron, who we've always said is the second best team in the NBA.
He is the second best team in the NBA.
The rest of his team could be probably about 20th best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
And J.R. Smith. First off, they had two free throws to pretty much ice the game. And
One point down, and he had free throws.
Yeah, 1 point down. You know, it was like 4 seconds ago.
This is what I don't get. I mean, he protected the draw, with less than a second left. Faf du Plessis protects a draw on the last day, bats for 8 hours, and people hail him as a champion. Where's the congruency there?
Where is it? So, yeah, one first free throw hits. Second one, J.R. Smith gets a rebound. 4.7 seconds left. Dribbles out way to like the halfway court and runs the clock out. And, much to everyone's dismay, he thought that they were actually ahead.
While staring at a very remonstratable LeBron, who's like, what the fuck are you doing?
A wide-open LeBron.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that, the nation's already pretty questionable about how much work athletes actually do at college, but I think this is really sealed that they do fuck all if J.R. Smith can't understand what the score is or what, plus one equals.
what I love, and we were talking about it just before, was game two, though.
Yeah,
J.R. Smith lines up for a free throws, and the Golden State Warriors crowd starts chanting MVP.
Yeah, that's sensational.
That is a brilliant crowd.
And like, I mean,
they deserve all their success.
You never want to be loved by your opposition ever, especially in the finals.
I think the problem is now LeBron's having to breed his own teammates. Like, his lad's coming up, he's going to be in the team before he's 20.
Yeah.
Before he's 15.
Well, yeah, LeBron, what, he come straight out of high school as well?
He did. Yeah, so he skipped college.
So, yeah.
Regrets that decision.
Yeah. I did see, as a rookie, Reebok offered him $10 million, and he was like, nah, I can do get better. More. And he did. A year later, he got $80 million.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
From Nike, I think it was.
But it's one of those things where if he took the 10, he's not going to complain anyway, is he?
Nah, yeah. Well, look, he's not struggling.
Josh, you got a highlight from the weekend or the week past?
We're living in the era of social media and questionable things, snowflakes, that sort of shit. Old mate, a UFC fighter, young Donnie Aaron. You wouldn't know him because he's pretty forgettable. His missus fights as well. I've forgotten her name off here. But Andrea Lee. Now, there are certain things where you'd be like, when you fuck up, you put your hand up and go, yeah, I fucked up. But when she's posting photos of her and her hubby out water skiing, and he's got a swastika tattoo on one arm and an SS Panzer logo or whatever it is, Gestapo logo on the other, and someone says, hang on.
Something's up here.
What the fuck are you doing? And she responds with a tweet going, neither of us are racist. We have an Asian and a black guy that lives with us. Oh my gosh, guys, it's a tattoo he got when he was in prison. Get over yourselves. He covers them up all the time. We happen to have a lake day and it makes an appearance. Sensitive ass mofos. Now, in terms of how to respond to criticism on, are you a racist? Because that is a very racist tattoo. Calling everyone sensitive ass mofos is kind of not great.
And I mean, she mentioned she lived with a black person, Asian person, no Jews.
It didn't say if they were, you know, living with them voluntarily. Or...
No. The basement is free. But
yeah, they adopted them.
It may very well be that, you know, he was in prison, needed to join a white supremacist group to survive, whatever. In which case, probably get rid of him when you get out.
I say, tattoo removal's not that difficult these days, is it?
Maybe stick to yourself and read some books. And maybe if you're going to call someone sensitive, it's like, oh, look, they only killed, what, 4 million of your people? Get fucking over it.
Six. But...
Six.
See, he's only a quasi-Holocaust denier.
Yeah.
He missed some of it, just not the other half.
Yeah, dispute rounding errors with Jews. Good luck.
They're only half Jew, some of them. Yeah. My highlight of the week also comes from almost the UFC. It's UFC, what is it, 225 or 250? I can't remember. Yeah. Anyway, CM Punk's fighting.
255, I think it is.
I don't know.
Yeah, with Whittaker.
No worries. So CM Punk's fighting in a couple of days. He's also been in court for a court case that has been...
For impersonating a fighter?
Building up for about 4 or 5 years, I think. So the short of it is, when he was with the WWE, after he quit, went on to his friend Colt Cabana's podcast, and he ripped into him and said, you know, they did this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, this wrong.
Yep.
And a lot of people's opinion was, CM Punk is an arsehole, but he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway, part of it was he ripped into the medicos at the WWE, the doctor who's... He had a big fucking staph infection and sent him, nah, you're right, mate, out you go. So the doctor sued him for libel. Out of it all came that the doctor probably shouldn't have gone to the stand because he incriminated himself pretty fucking badly. But
that's a hell of a heel turn.
But during it, during when CM Punk was getting, questioned, they asked what does CM stand for? He's never told anybody what it stood for. And he had to say under oath what CM stood for.
So there's a fan was the prosecutor.
I don't think so, but I think they just wanted to, show how ludicrous it was.
Yep.
Anyway, we found out CM stands for Chick Magnet.
Wow.
There you go.
Wow.
It's a name he's had for 20 years.
Chick Magnet Punk.
It's now official. It's in court documents. It was sworn. That's what it is.
It sounds like he's trying to get sponsorship from Lynx body spray or something.
Well, he probably made the name up when he was 19 or something. And what is he, 39, 40 now, or whatever it is. But
it was his AOL handle or something.
Yeah, very likely could have been. Anyway, it was a big week in football, if not for quality football. So we better get through it.
Well, this was the first bottom of the ladder versus top of the ladder round we've had. Or that I can remember.
No, there's been a couple like that. But anyway, it started off on Friday night with the Swans and Carlton. To be honest, you know, Friday night, when you put your tips in on the most of the apps, you have to put a margin in.
Yep.
My margin was about 10 goals bigger than this.
Yeah.
Was it Carlton dragging the Swans down to...
Carlton played all right for the first half. They were competitive. And I remember actually making the comment on Reddit saying, this is already better than I expected.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the second half, they were like, yeah, we're done.
And to be fair... Expectations were low.
Yeah. It must be hard to get motivated for this sort of game as well.
A little bit.
Like it's, you're supposed to be a percentage booster.
There's a couple of things I noticed about the Swans that I don't know if they're good or bad. It's just the way that they are.
Yep.
One is they're a very emotional team. So there was obviously when Callum Sinclair kicked a goal, like you're playing Carlton, it's second quarter, you're up by about 20 odd points.
Yeah.
And he was so, yes, we got this, yes.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, it's Carlton.
Yeah.
You should be winning by a lot more. Why are you so pumped? But, you know, that's just the way the team is. Because
he was able to shoot and it wasn't Buddy.
Maybe. Maybe it's just, hey, I'm getting a game, I'm playing footy. But that's that team. They play on such emotion like that. And then you go to one of the other games, like in Ruffy kicked the winning goal with 2 minutes to go against Port Adelaide. And it was just, that's my job.
Well, to be fair, I imagine it's because Longmire doesn't show any.
Very much so, but the team does. Hmm. I just saw it as I'm like, dude, this is kind of a nothing.
Maybe it's
you're expected to win this.
Yeah. Maybe it's the seeking approval from daddy sort of mentality. Like he's so stoic and doesn't give anything away. Just like, yeah, look at me, dad, I did it,
Please.
It was a success, love me, and he's like. Run back to vision, lad. Do wish you were aborted.
It could be. Now, the other thing is, this was obviously the Sir Doug Nicholls round, so it was the Indigenous Guernseys and all that. The Swans have the Adam Goods and Michael O'Loughlin medal.
Yep.
Now, there are a lot of medals and games between different sides that
Derek
have a
Hickett's
trophy.
Pissed.
Yeah. what do you notice about this one? Two players from the same team.
Yeah.
Because remember, there used to be like the Hurd Archer medal, and there's you know, the Anzac, which is Collingwood and Essendon.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's all these other marquee games that are two clubs. City have gone and said, we're going to have our own marquee, just us.
Yeah.
It's very much, it's and it might be the mentality of being north of the border. They get left out of the Victorian thinking.
Yeah, which they do. Stuff. How do you feel if you're GWS then? You're like, not only are we left out, we're left out by the people that are getting left out.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The ones that are not going to the party are also telling us we're not going.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to go to the party with, not you.
To their credit, though, it is the Pride game this weekend against St Kilda. So they've brought a team along for that one. But when it comes to the Indigenous round, it's theirs and theirs alone.
What do you think about the Indigenous Guernseys? Because I'm 100% for them.
Okay, I got no problem with having themed Guernseys, but I think that some of them look absolutely atrocious.
Yes. Some of them are shit.
And everybody says, oh, no, it's great.
No. Call it out. I think the city one was quite good with the black swan and everything. I'm on board with that.
Yep. I don't know why the big black swan. Nope, didn't do it for me. But it doesn't look like it fit. I like the ones that go, you know what? That's a different take on your Guernsey.
Well, to be fair, Hawthorn haven't had a good Guernsey for a long time.
Yeah, ours were all right.
It was okay. Yeah. But in the scheme of, like, it's only because Hawthorn have had so many terrible ones. Yeah. You're like,
okay is good for us. Yeah. I'll take that.
Okay is a win.
Yeah, no worries.
And it'd be like Carlton drawing against City in this match. You'd be like, that's a win for us.
The Carlton one I thought looked good if they did the shorts as well.
Yeah. Oh, fucking 100. Those shorts.
That's
why. But
that's what stands out with nearly all the Indigenous Guernseys is they put, and a lot of the Guernseys are very, very busy.
Yeah.
And then playing shorts.
Yeah.
Oh, man. If
looks weird.
If Kate Spade designed those shorts, it explains a couple of things.
Yeah, it does. Any more to say about Sydney Carlton? No. Cripps is great.
Yeah, exactly. I watched the first half and then I'm like, well, Carlton are done here. And I had to go to work.
I also like that Cripps called out Sinclair for diving.
Yeah.
Did he call him a fucking pussy or something?
Yeah, it was. And they actually put up the gif of it on the AFL Twitter account as well, which is,
good on
them. Some sense of humour, yeah.
But it's good that it got called out more than once on the weekend, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, plenty of diving to come.
Rampy did fuck all. He only got 9 touches and no goals, so drag him, I reckon.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad for a back pocket.
Yeah, fuck him. He's done.
On to the Bulldogs and the Demons. On Saturday. Was that at Etihad? I thought it was.
Etihad.
Geez, the Demons are playing some impressive footy.
Yeah, they are.
Look, you'd still say Richmond are the flag favourites, but geez, the Demons are in the conversation.
Oh, I think the Eagles.
Yeah. What are they sitting third at the moment, D's?
Third. They've been third for a couple of weeks.
It's kind of crazy. They've snuck into third and Adelaide have dropped out of the 8th.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Not have seen that come at the start of the year.
A couple of weeks ago, I went, oh my God, they're third?
Not sad about it either, actually.
No, they're playing great footy.
Yeah, it's exciting footy to watch.
Kicking massive scores.
Yeah, and they seem like the club that actually would have some sort of strategy to beat the Tigers' pressure because they've got big men that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah, if they were coming up against the Tigers right now, it's a tough call. But, you know, they played them a month ago and got wiped.
Yeah.
But I think also it's a totally different game plan. Like, the Tigers are all about hassle and run, whereas the stoppage work that Melbourne have is the best. It's by far and away the best.
Oh, and you've got to say, like, obviously, Maxi Gawn is fucking killing it.
Oh, sure.
And Jesse Hogan now has come of age.
Yeah.
Fuck me, they look dangerous once Jesse Hogan's, like, a constant worry for opposition.
Well, losing Jake Lever here was just starting to get into form.
It's a fucking heartbreaker.
It is, actually. Yeah. He was just starting to show some of the promise that they recruited him for. And what, he's out for 6?
Done. ACL. Yeah. So he might make bye round next year.
Yeah, he's still on probation, though, so they can still can his contract. That'll be good. He's got a receipt.
Goes back to hourly rate.
I think they can cover him, though. I'm not as doom and gloom.
No, I think they'll be fine.
Well, I think if you're going to lose someone in your back line for Melbourne's probably the area where you can afford it.
Well, he's not a fullback either.
No, he's not a key position back.
He is a very, very handy floating back flanker.
Well, that's it. It's supposed to be that player that sets up your forward run across the half back line. But, I mean, to be fair, he hasn't done that to an amazing effect with Melbourne.
Not all season.
But I think
players that have stepped up.
Compared to Richmond, where they rely on half back run to get it out of their back line, if you're a backman for Melbourne, you're just like, fuck it, I'll just sort of accidentally dribble it over the boundary line, let Maxi Gawn tap it down our throat, and we'll get it out of here.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as vital to run it out or blast kick it.
Because they're not scared of a stoppage.
No, they fucking love them.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially Clayton Oliver, who's taken a page out of Tom Mitchell's book and just got the plenty of 1-2s for 20 handballs a game or something like that.
He's a decent player, though.
28 handballs, sorry.
28 handballs. He loves a handball.
Loves that one, too.
If he can get it back, he loves it even more. But Angus Brayshaw, though, his last month has been amazing.
Yeah, oh, it's been superstar.
Imagine, they've still got a few to come back. I've got a feeling that Petrarca is... He played. But
yeah.
He's still getting up to full speed.
Yeah.
When you've got Brayshaw, Oliver, Petrarca...
Yeah.
Like, and Viney is still... You know, he's only 2 weeks back.
Cam Patterson's coming back.
Jesus Christ, that's a midfield.
Yeah. And, I mean, Petrarca seems to be... He's been a more fitter version of almost like a Jonathan Patton or something like that, where that big person is just sort of trying to... Obviously, they're young, so they've got to figure out how to deal with that big, lumping body as they grow up.
Nugget.
But he seems to have it figured out, whereas Patton obviously had all those injuries. But, yeah, he's starting to catch up to his size, I think, with his skills and ability.
He's getting faster.
Melbourne are going to go deep in finals this year, but I'll tell you what, they're my early favourites for next year's flag already.
Yeah.
I just think
I can see it happen.
The age bracket they're in, and Maxi Gawn, the form he's in, the sky's the limit. They should be excited.
Well, it's the second longest drought, isn't it, Melbourne?
No, besides people that haven't won, it's the longest.
St Kilda, I thought, was longest.
No, they're 50s. That was the last time Melbourne won. No, they won in 60... I'm going to say 63. And St Kilda was 66. So.
Yeah.
I'm having a guess. But anyway.
Fucking Hotham's going to be struggling this year.
Aren't they? Aren't they just?
Yeah.
GFC and now this. But the Bulldogs, though, it's just... Even everything coming out of their camp is just so...
Fucked.
Yeah.
Oh, they're cactus.
Well, even the reliable players that you used to be able to, peg for at least lifting up their half of the ground just have failed. I mean, that section, the exception of McRae, he's been the one that's been week in, week out consistent. The other ones have really dropped. Even Bontempelli, who, even if he had a bad game, it still was only a bad game compared to what his good games were like.
Yeah.
But he's obviously struggling without getting the help around him.
But Bontempelli should be... we should be talking about him in Brownlow contention.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they've always pegged him as. He's going to be, top three in the league type of stuff. And, I mean, this is a good game. He had, kicked a couple of goals and 20-odd touches. But he's not, like, if you had Nat Fyfe or him on the table right now, you go, wow, Fyfe.
Yeah.
Where it should be a discussion, and that's what they've been hoping out of him. I think it's still that he just has a lethargic nature about him.
Yeah, it seems like that's the problem with the Bulldogs, is they've all got that lethargic nature.
It's easy for them.
Yeah.
Mitch Wallace still tooling around in the twos.
Might be tooling around somewhere else next year, I reckon.
You'd have to. Like, you can't have a player like him, who was a fucking super asset in 2016, and play him in the twos?
I don't get a lot of what the Bulldogs are doing.
But if there's disciplinary issues, the Bulldogs have shown they're not afraid to air that.
Yeah.
So, is it a form issue? Is he just not rocking up for training?
Well, I think,
is he getting on the gas with Libertore?
I think Jordan Ruffhead's running around in the twos as well.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is.
Right.
Yeah. So, there's something going on. Having said all that, Gowers has been a find for him this year. But you're not looking for him to carry the team.
Yeah. It's pretty easy to find those rough ones in the patch at the moment because everyone else is shit house.
Yeah, but finding $5 in the coat you hung up. Like, that's not finding a winning lotto ticket.
And English has had a couple of good games as well, but again, like, realistically, those guys shouldn't be getting a shot.
Yeah. None of us are expecting them to play finals, are we?
Not now, no. I don't think I picked them before the start of the year either.
I can't see him in the top 10.
No. It's quite lackluster. Anyway, I think that's enough about the Bulldogs.
Yeah, flipping the game of the round, though.
Hawthorn Port Adelaide was one of. Sometimes it goes to show that it doesn't need to be a good game to be close, but it helps.
Especially in Tasmania. Yep.
Sometimes it helps.
Hey, it was exciting.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, the game wasn't won until it was over, and that was the only match we could say that for.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because everything else was a fucking blowout.
Oh, no. I mean, I think that Giants Adelaide was a better game, but. I was watching a lot of this game. I was out doing family time, and a lot of it I was watching without the sound.
Yeah.
Sort of, peeking here and there. Didn't help. There were, I think, a record 10 50-meter penalties.
Right.
Could not tell for the life of me what they're all for. And then I checked online, and it looks like those that could hear couldn't tell either. So, what a weirdly umpired game.
Yeah.
That's the only way I can put it is weird.
The whole round was that.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the umpires are getting instructed on every week. And look, if the umpires are told to pay a certain thing, that's fine. Can you let us know? Like, it seems like it changes minute to minute. You'll have two incidences in the same play on both sides, and one gets paid, one doesn't. And it drives people nuts.
Well, that was the same in the NBA Finals. There was some real, like, shithouse inconsistent calls between both games. And maybe some, like, umpire Illuminati where they just get together and go, let's fuck with people this year, this month. Yeah, them and ticket collectors or something.
Guys, we've got nothing to talk about. We'll get them to talk about umpiring. It was a weird one, though. It's, again, Hawthorne got 6 wins. And I reckon 4 or 5 of them have been the opposition side's worst game of the year.
Yeah.
And it's just been like that. I don't know if they've dragged it down or what's going on, but Port Adelaide was shit ass.
Yep.
Well, like we've made light of several times, I tipped them to win the minor premiership. That's not going to happen. And they'll be lucky to play finals.
Well, I mean, they're in the 8 at the minute, aren't they? And they've got a game in hand.
Mm.
But, I mean...
But there's buys coming. They've got... they don't have a game in hand to catch up with because everyone else is playing.
Yeah, they've had their bye.
They've had their bye.
Yeah.
But they're still not looking good.
This was terrible. It was just pure filth. They did a lot of the mistakes of, you know, blast kicking forward that made Sicily best on ground just about.
Yeah.
I think he's second or third in the league now for intercept marks, and this wasn't difficult for him.
No, no. And, yeah. I mean, Hawthorn's strategy obviously is the... Let Jack Watts kick 3 because, yeah.
Well, Jack Watts kicked 3, but 2 of them from the goal square, and I reckon they're the only 3 kicks he got all day. He was shit.
You just don't bother covering him anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty happy with this, though, because it means Ollie Wines might leave.
If he leaves, I reckon he'll be in the red and the blue.
Nah, fuck that. they're still smarting over Jakey Lever. Adelaide, the whole region of SA will just fucking riot.
Oh, I'll give him something to do. Something else I noticed, Sam Powell Pepper, he's a fiery lad.
I think
everyone agrees with that.
He's in good touch.
But Sean Burgoyne had an absolute belter of a game.
Yeah.
Would not go... no remonstrating with Burgoyne, doesn't matter what happened, just none.
Well, it is to... the Aboriginal heritage
route. But what I was saying is, then it made me think, I can never remember any Indigenous player having a go at another Indigenous player. And I believe a lot of it is because when they come into the league, Indigenous players, like, they have a lot of mentorship and
camps and things like that.
They don't care if you play for another side.
Yeah.
I think Eddie Betts is really big on, he does it for Port Adelaide and Adelaide, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because he's the elder statesman there.
Yeah.
So there is that building and that camaraderie. So, you know, let's everyone, you know, what is it, a rising tide? Raises all boats, something like that.
Drowns all stragglers.
Something like that. Mm. I just thought, oh yeah, you can see it in play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, Bergwijn's known for that as well. He does a lot of outreach. And I remember, I think it was Josh Gibson saying he was a big reason he went there, even though Josh Gibson's not Aboriginal.
Nobody knows what the fuck he is, though.
But he is very much that super respected elder statesman of the Aboriginal community in football. And so I can very much understand that it would have been like almost having a crack at your dad.
Yeah.
Like, he's gone up there and he's like, you what, mate? He's like, son, do you really want to do this?
And Burgoyne is old, too. He might be older than Sam Powell Pepper's dad, because I know Powell Pepper's a young lad, too. I think he might have 20 years on him, or near enough.
Yeah, pretty close, yeah.
Anyway,
I tell you what, though, he's still got another year left in him.
He was best on. It was near best on ground in this game. I'd give him another year. He got it. He's too classy.
I'd keep him. How many games is he up to these days?
Yeah, he's coming up to 350 soon, I think.
Jeez. He could legit have a run at 400. You need 2 more seasons.
I reckon it might be one too many for him. One Fuck season it, let too him go. Many. But I tell you, if he wanted it, I'd give it to him.
Just don't let him get near 4-3-2.
Yeah. all right, that's enough about that game, and even less about this game will do. Suns and the Cats. Cats did whatever they wanted. Suns were woeful.
Yep. Gaz Ablett decided he wanted to turn up today.
Oh, that was nothing to
him. A little warm-up run for him.
Yeah. Really, it was Selwood and Dangerfield went, oh, mate, your turn.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, exactly. It's
Although one of his goals got in the goals of the week. You know how they picked 3 goals for goals of the week. I looked at it and went, that's a running...
That's filler.
That's a running drop
running
punt.
Goal, it's Gary Ablett, it's in Gold Coast.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm like, okay, that happened. What I did love was this is Gold Coast Suns' first home game for the year.
Yep.
So obviously they haven't had a chance to be at the home crowd and that. So they decided, win, lose or draw, we're going to give away the footies and sign the footies and give it out to the crowd.
Yeah.
It's not really a great sign, though, when you've been done by, what is it, 80 yeah. You've been down by 15 goals. And you're like, sign the footy here. Yeah. Here, kid, remember this day.
And kicked 4-12. So it's sort of one where they'll kick it into the crowd and it'll go fucking off the side of the boot and end up back in the ground.
And come in, it's like volleyball. They chuck them out, the crowd chucks them back in.
There's got to be a few people in that crowd that got 4 or 5 balls.
Yeah.
You know, do you want one? Do you want another one? You got kids at home? Bring them out next time.
They're trying to sandpaper the side of it to get some swing.
I think it cost them a few more players too. I think May's gone and
we can all read
Martin,
a calendar, mate.
You know?
Yep.
So things are looking really up for Gold Coast from here.
Yeah, they're fucked. We didn't expect them to play finals, but they're looking at the spoon now.
Yeah, and now all everyone's talking about is where does Tom Lynch go next year? And I've said many times, I'll take him at Hawthorn, but goddamn, if he goes, forget it. Gold Coast is finished. There's no point to them.
Oh, Collingwood's going to throw everything at him.
Well, yeah, and Richmond. You know,
and Richmond.
They're rumoured to be in it. But
depends who you ask.
If Tom Lynch leaves Gold Coast, how do you go to the next person and say, you know, the next number one draft pick, mate, come here, we want to build a team with you? I'm like, well, your fucking captain doesn't even believe it.
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do?
Well, they need to recruit, in which case, fucking, I don't know, look for someone, anyone.
They're a retirement home.
I think you got to find, like, any athletes left over from the Commonwealth Games who just try to stay out their visa and
well, there was a whole bunch
get them legit.
What was it, Caribbean or Senegalese or something?
I don't know.
They're still missing?
Yeah, yeah, that, we'll find him.
Chuck again. Get him on. Find that French fucker that climbed that building to save that kid.
Well, he's French now.
He's been offered everything, so why not offer him a contract?
Yeah. Get him in.
We'll play in Paris. Fuck it. You're playing in China, why not try Paris?
Not a bad call.
It's worth something.
Yeah.
All right, dream time.
Just like, yeah, they'd give up there too.
yeah, well, there's a lot of white flag about this game. Dream time of the G, the Tigers and Essendon.
Jackie Stringer's best match so far, and he was still ordinary.
Yeah. He's been all right lately, but this is back to reality for the Dons. I think it was more, though, Richmond just got going.
Yeah, it's a pretty classy performance by Richmond.
Especially Edwards.
Exactly.
Fucking killed it.
And like we haven't always said, but you can see, we talked about it last year, where him in a tight space, he seems to have more time than everyone else. And when he's talking about that...
What, Stringer?
he was talking about how he gets that from obviously having to play against Richmond's pressure in practice.
In practice, yeah, yeah.
So, trapping iron. Yeah, in these games, he looks like he's just ahead of the curve. And he does something special every game that usually you don't notice because it doesn't get shown. But obviously, that little flick up pass to Caddy.
And Caddy, tell you what, didn't Caddy look after him too?
Yeah.
He kicked it off one step
and
just fucking nailed it.
Yeah, and Caddy was having a day out, so...
And when he did it too, I thought, nah, he's rushed his kick, it's going to go anywhere. Yeah. This could go anywhere, but he actually got it there.
It's just in fine form, Caddy, like week in for week out for the last probably four weeks.
He's been super. Turning on. He's been absolutely super this year, Josh Caddy. He could actually be All-Australian.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's definitely got his name in that bracket. It's hard to think who else would fill out that sort of forward flank centre, maybe forward pocket sort of role.
Yeah. Well, if you had a squad of 40, I'd say he'd be in the squad.
Yeah.
If he's in the team or not, you've got an argument, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But he was great. The other one with Titch was, I think it was against Goddard on the wing, where you see his breaks were better.
Yeah.
And he just stopped and went the other way. And you're like, I can't catch him.
Yeah.
It definitely was Goddard, because Goddard then dived and couldn't get him on the tackle.
Pointed at someone and blamed the rest of the teammates.
Blamed the pretzels.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that was great to see Shetta get the recognition on the stage that, you know, for Indigenous round.
Yeah.
Really turned it on.
I've got a feeling he knocked it out of the park last year in Dreamtime of the G as well.
Yeah.
I have that memory. I can't picture him playing, but.
Yep.
Yeah.
Losing Zaharakis, though.
Oh, you could feel it, couldn't you?
Yeah.
8 weeks, I reckon.
And
Jesus.
Like, I was watching it, everyone goes, oh, it's a broken collarbone. Like, no, he disconnected the collarbone and the sternum.
Yeah.
He just goes, no.
The collarbone and the sternum, fucking hell.
Yeah, I don't even understand. Without him, they're not winning. Oh, not many. Which is a shame, because they put it together a good couple of weeks. But.
Yeah.
Fantasia didn't look right either.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, and Danaher's still a few weeks away, so poor old Dons, I don't know.
Plus, with Danaher, it's his groin. So when he comes back, you know, part of his appeal, I guess, is his long bomb kicks too.
I thought it was his mustache, to be honest.
Well, I'd say part of his appeal was his groin.
We're back to Jakey Stringer here.
He's probably given that a workout on his time off, let's be honest.
Yeah, fair play to that.
Anyway, it was terrible. On to the Eagles and the Saints over there. Eagles by 2 goals, but really...
most talked about match.
You reckon?
For one incident. For the injuries, I guess.
Okay.
I feel like there was a more talked about incident.
Yeah, I've got a feeling there were a couple.
We just glossed over that one.
Maybe. Yeah, no, we did skip Rance's dive.
Yeah.
Okay. But he dived, you got called for it.
Yeah.
Move on.
Grand out of the pocket or something.
Yeah. I did like how Richo came out and said, everyone does that, guys. I was like, I no, did it. This was...
What yeah. I actually liked was during the call, Richo said, oh, he's put a bit of mayo on that.
Yeah.
Like, Richo wasn't defending it during the call. I think he was more defending the amount of shit that got heaped on afterwards.
Yeah, but I can't believe, like, Rance, eyes in the back of his head, because he timed that dive perfect. Felt the slightest touch and just, like, went for it. So, yeah, good for defending and for, I don't know, reverse parallel parking.
Yeah, there's dropping condiment on a hot dog and there's just a mayo sandwich. That's what he was running with.
It is hard, some of those, because when you're just about to jump too, it doesn't take much and you go flying and you can look like an idiot.
That's not what happened here.
I think I'm glad it got fined.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. But again, a lot of people think, right, here's our fucking chance to unload. I'm taking this.
Yeah.
And they did.
Oh, it's great to be hated. It's great.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is.
I wouldn't know.
I was going to say, was it North Melbourne that was years ago saying we want to be hated? Oh, no, it was the Bulldogs, wasn't it? We want people to hate us. Anyway.
Yeah.
It wasn't Collingwood because they got their wish.
No. Though the Saints did have some accuracy.
Yeah. Was that two weeks in a row of accurate Saints?
Well, 14-4 is impressive, but... It is, yeah. Again, I think they kicked the last 6 goals.
Yeah, by the time West Coast had taken the foot off the gas at that
well
stage.
And truly. But I mean,
up by 9 goals or something at that point.
The game was over.
Yeah,
they weren't getting there. But it was big that Saints still thought, at least we can try. We'll put a couple in.
They played in the second half, which is a very big improvement for the Saints.
Yeah, well, the big injury I was talking about was Jack Darling. He's having a stellar season.
Yeah.
And he's out for, the next 6 to 7 weeks?
I don't know if it was that long, but he's out. I think that it wasn't as bad as they first thought, but I don't know if they've put a time frame on it. If they have, I've missed it. But
yeah.
They very well could have. But it looks so innocuous how he did it as well. Mm.
And that's the scary ones, though, you know what I mean?
Well, that was Jakey Leavers. Jakey Leavers was even less.
Yeah.
It was nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Well, the app says he's ankled 6 weeks.
6 weeks, there you go.
Yeah. I think on the Saints side of things, memory kicking 6 straight. Like we've been saying, they need to really identify some sort of structure they're falling on because they've got too many contenders for that position and not enough in that snuff back to midfield to really bring the ball forward. They did, like, last week against the Tigers, they let them pretty much own the center of the ground and run freely. They seemed to claw that back in that second half, but in the first half, it was much the same. I think the defensive sort of transition from attack into defense really needs some work.
Yeah, but the foot was off the pedal in the second half. And there was a fair bit of junk time goals too.
Yeah, well, the last quarter was junk time.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of games you see, it's decided at three-quarter time, and then there's 2-1 kicked in the last.
Yeah.
At least the Saints would know, we've got a chance, we will run it out. Exactly. It's something.
I like Membry, but do you see him as the forward you can build a team around?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
But he just hasn't been kicking straight.
He's been a fucking good team to put
around
him.
For about 2 months. If he was kicking straight, like, I think he at one stage there, he went 1-12 over cumulative weeks. You know, if he... They weren't going to win games if he kicked 6-6, for example.
Yeah.
But geez, they'd make a better show.
Yeah.
Give him something more. I think Jade Gresham's been great for him this year
as well.
So
do I. Yeah, he's
a fucking champion.
Who was it saying that, like, his forward pressure or his pressure off the ball was bullshit? Like,
yeah.
Sick of the old cunts in the media that just trying to make the game what it was 20 years ago.
Do you mean Robert Walls or Grant Thomas?
Probably both of those. And I think David King was in there as well.
It was someone that was clearly wrong.
I just wish those guys would shut the fuck up because we don't want the game to go back to like it was in the mid-90s. Like, that time happened and it's passed. Yeah. Let's make sure the game always progresses.
Yeah,
and we're winning.
And
so
have you watched the mid-90s football?
Oh, it's not great, is it?
No.
It's not great.
Looking back at it, like at the time, you know, it's the best product on the planet, yeah. So you're loving life. But you look back at it and then you watch it side by side and people are like, oh, the hard hits. And no, like,
yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a couple, but the thing is, fucking slow.
Yeah.
Back in the mid-90s, the games you remember were the great ones.
Yeah.
You don't
yeah.
remember the ordinary ones.
Yeah, that's it.
The Fitzroy getting beaten by 35 goals kind of games.
Yeah. The ones where, you know, North won by 10 goals against the Bulldogs.
Yeah, yeah, I remember those. They were great.
You know, those games.
See, so I'd go back to those matches. I'm fine with that.
Like, because the 89 grand final I can watch any day.
Yeah.
Because it's a fucking classic. Yeah. But there are other games that season that were quite fucking ordinary.
Exactly.
And like, we don't remember them.
I'll watch a Magic Moment style recap of the season, but I ain't watching a game.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Having said that, I don't buy into the theory that everything's fine.
Like,
No.
There's, you know, this weekend there was... Yeah. 1.5 games were good.
Yeah, just listen to the young people, maybe, you know, don't listen to the old cunts.
Yeah.
And, you know, occasionally, although we did see the old BT50 actually beat a spectator this week, so we look out.
We're coming up to the North Melbourne-Brisbane Lions game, which, as you say, the BT50, was it quarter-time race?
Yeah, the BT50's had a rough season so far. It's lost every match. I think it even lost against a dude in a wheelchair who wasn't moving rapidly. It was one of those auto wheelchair things.
Yeah, so it's
Stephen Hawking style.
It's the, you know, the race along the boundary line at quarter time for vouchers. Yeah. And I think the BT50 is put into neutral and then somebody pushes it. That's how fast it goes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it beat the kids on this day.
But I wonder if it's in contract where Mazda, you know, just not look like a total fucking jackass of a car. They have to win like once in a while.
One a season.
Yeah, it's like a reverse configuration of a Poké machine or something.
Yeah.
I imagine there's an app like on the laptop with a guy there and he's like, yeah, all right, we'll hold it back. And someone's gone, fuck, this kid's taking a fucking long. Bang. Up. Over. Done. Fuck off.
But they gave him the vouchers anyway.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, before we get into this actual game, there's something else I want to talk about. This month at Etihad Stadium, they have monthly specials going.
Yep.
It was $3 pies.
Right.
And I thought, well, we had $2 pies last September, so, mate, you're fucking behind to start exactly. with. But at halftime, I went to get a feed, and there was packed at the food stand, and there was an old bloke in front who was ropeable. He was yelling at one of the Etihad Stadium staff, and because he's going, mate, we're sold out. We've got none. He goes, we only expected 20,000.
Yeah.
Do you know how many people rocked up?
22,000.
I'm like, mate, you're not doing yourself any favours here. They ran out because that extra 2,000 were fucking hungry, apparently. Anyways.
Actually, I was at Preston Markets today. One thing I love about going to markets is watching white guys try and argue with the Asian people. And this guy's arguing because he's trying to order 2 kilos or whatever the fuck he's buying. And he's ended up with 4 kilos. He's cocaine. Like, that's in the car park. And that's against like the Albanian fellow who's sitting in the coffee shop. So anyway, he's like, you told me that there wasn't enough to buy 2 kilos, but I've ended up with 4. And he's like, I don't understand. He's like, he's trying to explain it. And he's like, don't worry about it. I walk up there. G'day, mate. How you going?
Oh, well.
Yep.
All right, so this game, North got out to a massive lead in the first half. And I don't know if... I think that Brisbane were not playing that badly, but goddamn, North took their chances.
Well, North usually, like, their whole game plan is bringing the other team down to their level. They're not used to playing someone like Brisbane. Like, shit, what do we do here?
140 is a good fucking score.
No, Higgins was spectacular. Like, he was silk.
Yeah, he went a little bit quiet in the second half, but it was only because his first half was so fucking loud.
Yeah, he
thought everyone else would have a turn. But Luke McDonald, that was the best game I've seen him play. And
kicked a lot of goals.
I pumped up the start of the season. Paul Hearn comes in. One of the best debut matches for a bloke that hasn't played in 2 years.
Well, I'd say there's actually a better debut on the weekend, but we'll come up to that. When North are winning by 10 goals, you know, scored 140, they've got the leader in the Coleman up forward, but he's only kicked 2.
Yeah.
It's a weird game for Ben Brown because...
He was getting fucking mugged, is why.
I reckon he wasn't. I reckon he just... The ball wasn't getting kicked to him because there was no pressure at half forward. All the forwards were snapping it over his head.
Yeah.
I reckon it was just the game was too easy up the field for him to get involved.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Jack Zeeble had 3 nice goals too. One of them was a gimme from that... I think it was Hipwood was running back. Was in the back line, decided to kick all the way across the switch.
There was a couple.
And you see it just sit up in the air, and you see Zeeble go, oh, fuck, I got this.
He went to spoil it, and it stayed in his hand. He went, well, I've got to keep the fucking goal now, don't I?
He loved life right then.
What happened with Jared Waite?
Jared Waite happened. That's what.
Yeah, calf just in the
warm-up.
I mean, we called it. We called it. Yeah, due for an injury.
The funny thing is, young Tom Murphy's had a seat, and he's, you know, about to get tucked into a pie and whatnot. And all of a sudden, they're like, come on, lad, go get changed. He's like, oh, you fucking shitting me. Because, you know, oh, look, get the rookie, you're going to get changed. I'm going to come back and sit here and watch the game on Guernsey, fucker. And like, no, we're legit. It's Jared Waite. He's like, oh, yeah, I believe that.
It's Waite now.
Yeah. And off he goes. And they actually were still doing the warm up and just finishing the warm up and the sirens blowing when he's actually running on the field.
Because I was listening to the radio and Josh said, what's Jared Waite out for? And I just said, Jared Waite.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I don't know. Will it be weeks for him? Or
no, apparently he could have played, but it's Brisbane, so they didn't bother. Same with Jay Anderson.
Fair enough.
He was had a bit of a
calf tightness.
Hamstring
tightness.
Yeah, or groin or something. And they said he could have gone back on, but nah, why bother?
Dane Beams was killing it in this game too. Jacobs, it looked like they didn't know if Jacobs should run to Beams or Zorko. And they kind of, so he kind of covered them, tried to cover them both. And I think he should have just picked one.
I mean, it is ambitious to try and cover those two quality.
Yeah,
hitters.
It was like 5 minutes over here, then 5 minutes over there. And I thought, pick one, you know?
Yeah.
But Beams ended up kicking five or six. No, he had a shot for his sixth after the siren.
Yeah. 5-1.
And 32 posies.
Yeah. Spaces. Mind you, Jacobs played wide from a fair bit. Still got 2 goals and 22. So he didn't have a bad game for a lad.
Yeah, but when you're a tagger and your opponent gets 30 touches and 5 goals. All right. Yeah. But, I mean, the heat was off, wasn't it?
A lot of them were junk time. Like, junk time. It was after the match was decided, which was quarter time, really.
Yeah. Now, some of the talking points coming out of this. As a North Melbourne supporter and with, you know, the much maligned incident earlier in the year with Higgins and Burton, you must be, Josh, you must be absolutely ropeable that Jai Simpson didn't get suspended for this.
Oh, a bit different.
Like, oh, I know. He actually hit him in the head, whereas Burton hit him in the chest. But
take the piss. Burton deserved two. But no, with this one, Simpkins going for the ball. And look, part of it is always he didn't choose to bump for a start. He was just crunching up. And
the point is
he had
no other choice.
No. And like we've said before, if your sole objective is the ball and there is incidental contact, different from collecting the ball and then deciding to punch someone in the face, like, whatever. But if you have no choice and the ball is your object, any contact should be part of a contact sport.
Well, it came out in the when they went to the tribunal, where they said he didn't have any other choice. And Gleeson, who's the representing the AFL, went,
they conceded that.
Well,
it should be.
Stop it there.
Yeah, that's it. Done.
We're done.
Yeah, it's called an out-of-court settlement.
I'm actually of the opinion that the MRO/tribunal system is working because they've removed the penalty for appealing.
Yep.
Remember, you take an early plea, you get a week off.
Yeah.
I think they've removed that, and now people are more likely to test.
Yeah.
You know, and appeal.
And it should be.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
Give you a chance to argue your case.
Yep.
There's been a few that, you know, argued and lost still.
Yeah, fair enough.
And you go, okay, fair enough.
Course.
And really, out of the ones that argued and lost, I'd only say that the Nick Nat Nui one was incorrect.
It's like ticket inspectors where they were trying to do that thing where you can pay him in cash right then and there.
Yeah.
And they stick it done. Fuck you. Like, I'm going to
argue this guy.
I'm going to go on Google. I'm going to look at all my possible options, probably Reddit and legal advice, and see what I can actually get away with here.
But I think this is the right result. What they've come to.
Yeah. And
mate, you had no choice. It's a contact sport.
We've been saying for a while now, too, like, I don't want to blame Christensen, but
you're gonna.
Players have to defend themselves. Like, old mate, who's the bloke that does dirty jobs?
Mike Rowe.
His motto is safety should never be first, safety's third, because it's up to each person to look after themselves first.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you'll never be able to set rules that'll stop head contact. You can minimize it and you can absolutely ping anyone who does it intentionally.
Yeah.
But when there's a ball on the ground and two people are going for it, this happens, maybe 100 times a weekend?
It's a contact sport. The only way to totally eliminate it is to make it a non-contact sport, and nobody wants that.
No.
Yeah.
So
both of them saw the ball between them. Both of them saw there was going to be contact. One player defended himself, and that's all he did. He just made himself small. The other player didn't. That's the player that got knocked out.
What did you learn?
But it's not Christian's fault.
No,
Christensen's fault either. He was playing the ball as well.
Yeah.
And he didn't see him coming or wasn't aware or went to go the other way.
Yeah.
Whatever. It
doesn't
matter.
Massive dive.
It's bad luck.
But it's also, in term, if you're training players, as bad as it is to be a Simpkin or a Christensen, if you have the choice, you want to be the Simpkin. Even if you do get rubbed out for 2 weeks, it's better that than getting knocked out.
Yeah, of course. Yep. Would I rather keep playing or get knocked out? I'll take the keep playing.
Exactly. So, you know, if you're training under 15s, 16s, 18s, VFL, whatever, be the guy that looks after himself. Be the guy that makes himself small, takes the contact.
Let's look at the other end of that spectrum.
Clicking balls, something for the kids.
Collingwood versus Fremantle. Now, Nat Fyfe, playing the ball.
Yeah.
But raised in the elbow, it got him in the head.
Well, the ball was kind of over his shoulder when he made contact, so it's hard to say he was solely aimed at the ball.
So, like you just said with Jai Simpkin, you make yourself small.
Yeah, yourself small isn't throwing an elbow out from your body.
A flying forearm.
If you're accepting contact, your immediate thing is to make yourself small. Your elbows go to your ribs.
Yeah, or to their head. I mean, it can go either way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the referee always says you've got to intelligently defend yourself. That's what he was doing.
You knock the other fucker out, you don't have to defend
yourself.
Let him
keep on going.
Yeah.
You know.
One of the other arguments that Frio took was, it must be fair because there was no remonstration. Collingwood played on and kicked the goal. No wonder they didn't fucking remonstrate.
And maybe they just don't like Greenwood. I mean, I can understand that.
You can understand that. You were in for it.
Traitorous motherfucker.
But again, I don't mind them trying to challenge it. I do like afterwards, Fyfe said, look, I got a fair trial. I didn't win. Such is life.
Yeah.
And then he put on Ned Kelly's outfit and went and joined Ben Cousins.
Yeah, well, you know, good move for that. But
you found him?
Goddamn, Collingwood are playing some attractive footy, aren't they?
They are
scarily attractive. I would love nothing more than to write them off, but they're finals bound.
Yeah, they're sitting seventh at the minute.
And not looking like they're going
to
drop out.
And obviously they're playing Melbourne this week. I don't know who's going to win that game. That is one of the hardest games to pick ever.
I'm on Melbourne, but I think Collingwood will have their moments.
Damn, they've got
Grundy v. Gorn.
How good's that?
How salivating is that?
That's one of the best matchups of the year.
Utterly nutritious to watch that.
We said earlier with Ahern of an impressive debut, but I actually got a request from Reddit to have a look at, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Mihocek.
Mihocek.
Yeah, Brody Mihocek played his first game for Collingwood and kicked 4 goals straight, if you don't mind, on debut.
Shit, that is pretty good.
He's a mature age player as well. He's been knocking around for Port Melbourne, I think, and played in the Burroughs VFL Premiership last year against the Tigers, it was.
Yep.
So, obviously, kicking 4 on debut, you know, hasn't got, I think he took 3 contested marks as well. So, it's not a bad effort, but even though he's 25, I'm sorry, I'm running this because I know you guys wouldn't have looked at him too closely, but yep. I got somebody on Reddit asked me to, so I thought I will.
Is he a loose unit?
No.
Shit.
No, looks like very straight down the middle, almost accountant looking.
Do you remember years back, there was a little, you used to watch cartoons or something after the school, and there'd be those little 2-minute interim things.
Interstitials?
Sure.
Sure.
And there was the Plasticine one, and there was a character called Morph.
Yes, I remember Morph.
That's fucking him.
You reckon?
I'm looking at, look at the face. Like, I don't know if you remember the character, but just the eyebrows that form the curve straight into the nose that's sort of rounded. It's fucking Morph.
Fair enough.
You have to Google that now, but believe me, it's Morph.
But with Mihocek, they're looking for him to be a little bit of another forward option if Darcy Moore legs it.
Yep.
And I've got a feeling that Darcy Moore might just leg it in the off season. I reckon that it's too early to tell with Mihocek because he's only played his first game. But I want to see him with another AFL preseason under his belt, even though he's 25.
Yeah.
You know, so there's more to go there. But anyway, there's more you ever thought you'd hear about Mihocek.
Oh, I've seen him have plasticine adventures.
Yeah. Hoskin Elliott kicking 6 is not a bad effort. Tom Phillips is 36 touches and 3 goals. I'll tell you what, he's an outsider for all Australian at the start of the year, if there ever was one.
Yeah, and Collingwood have got those players that just keep on popping up and doing their part. I mean, they were very Treloar heavy last year and very injury ravaged, and now they've just pulled it together and got everyone pulling their boot studs up.
Daniel Wells has got consecutive games.
Yeah, true, yep. Wait till he fucks it up. It's gonna be glorious.
Well, see, they've still got injuries, but I don't know if the injuries are now, like, this might be their best 22 regardless.
Yeah, and that's what you need. You need to have that depth, and you find it one way or another. You find up having a good VFL squad or injuries, and those people come up, and, you figure out what your new game plan is.
Well, I mean, next week is obviously their litmus test. If yeah, they can if they can beat game. Melbourne, geez, anything's happening.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Big Cox had another one. He kicked a nice little banana too,
yep.
On the boundary line. I thought he was going to have a great season, and he was like, I think we said it last week too, he was shocking in round one and got suspended. Yep. But he's turning into very, very handy seven-footer.
Yep, yep. Also, put a nice shepherd so the umpires can have a clean clean walkway through the crowd. Very considerate of him. Definitely learned his lesson.
He's a nice lad.
We're putting a line through Dockers though, aren't we?
Oh, fucking oath.
Yeah, without five for the next couple. They ain't winning those.
Sanderlands didn't play this one, but he might be back next week.
Yeah.
But even so, Sandy's 7 feet tall. That's never going to fucking change, obviously. Yeah. But he's not as effective as he used to be.
Wow. I think he's also the second oldest in the league behind Burgoyne. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he ages, like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
He's a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much more to say. This just makes me, somebody without a dog in the fight, it makes Monday's Queen's birthday game just such an attractive game to watch.
Yeah,
100%. And I did see there's a bit of a fight about it too, because it's the MND game as well.
Oh, yep.
Yeah.
Collingwood has... initially, the deal was for Collingwood and Melbourne to alternate. But since they've had the Danaher MND, fight for MND, yep. Splash, whatever...
They've shared.
Well, they've given it to Melbourne for the last few.
Yeah.
And then Eddie's come out and said, you know what, lads, it's a good run. But I think it's going to be our home game next year.
I got a feeling it was never shared. I think it was one of the things that Collingwood said, look, you guys are in fucking trouble. You can have it.
And Eddie's gone, I've been a cunt for a while.
It was, why are we doing good things again?
Yeah.
Maybe you realise that Melbourne's bidding for Darcy Moore.
Could very well be. On to the Crows and the Giants. Did not pick this.
No. I did not pick the Giants kicking more goals than points.
No, it's the first time it's happened since round two or three or something like that, we've been following. But every time the Crows wrestled it back from the Giants responded.
Yeah, yeah, and they had an answer for four quarters of a game, which was amazing. Obviously still some big outs for the Crows, but there's big outs for GWS as well.
Yeah.
So this was a game of what's your future strategy when you need your depth to step up.
11 goals, 15, though. That might be it.
Yeah, yeah, I think that is it. Obviously, Tex wasn't playing, was he?
No.
He was
out, he's still gone for a while.
Eddie's not dominating.
No.
But, geez, I think this is Josh Kelly's best game for the year so far. And just, oh, yeah, that's right. That's what you can do.
Yeah,
And in 1 week, the Giants look scary again.
Yeah, they'll fall away.
Because we play him in a couple of weeks.
I'm just saying that because I'm not sold on Cameron's coaching. His structures seem to be about, let's just put the best talent on the field and hope they can make it happen.
Yeah.
Because when shit goes pear-shaped, he tends to struggle. Although I say that, but then they've come back and managed to give Adelaide a dish, so I'm wrong. I don't know what I'm talking about. Fuck it.
Adelaide's in trouble. I'm prepared to say that Adelaide can't win the flag this year. Because I think, their three best midfielders, being the Crouch brothers and Sloan, I don't think they've had eight games between them this year. So, Brad Crouch is not coming back. They've gone to the surgical table for him.
Yep.
But even when Sloan comes back, you're like, well, you haven't had a full year now. And when Tex comes back, there's a game or two to get back into the swing there.
But there's still a question mark over Sloan. He hasn't signed.
Yeah, he hasn't, and neither has Tom Lynch.
That's true.
And he's obviously the lesser of the two Tom Lynches. But
if you get to the bye and you haven't signed, there's a strong chance you're not going to.
I think when it comes to big name players, it's sort of, two thirds of them don't sign. There's the one third that does. And it's the rarer one, obviously.
And especially coming off an injury, that's not the time you want to sign. You want to get a few good games on the belt.
Build yourself up. But your price is always bigger somewhere else.
It's just true. And you've got plenty of time to talk to a lot of people when you're injured.
Yeah. When you're not doing much. The thing going against Sloan is he's 29 at the moment.
Yep.
So he's a top-up player for a team making a final still.
Geelong, that's where they always end up.
Oh, geez, wouldn't they love that?
Yeah.
I think Adelaide will still make finals, but god damn, they've got to turn some things around.
It's going to make finals interesting as well if they're going to have Crows in the bottom.
Seventh or eighth with a full complement. Yeah. I mean, injuries is going to be their issue.
Yeah.
God damn, if they get any more, you're just like, well, mate, why?
What do you do? How do you fill those spots?
And it's a shame because, Bryce Gibbs is having a good year.
Yeah, he's probably been one of the best, to be honest.
Yeah, you go close, you know. Well, no, Rory Laird would be their best.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he, I think he broke his hand. But really? He's likely to play anyway this week.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones.
Yeah, just suck it up.
A bit weird.
I know you've pumped him up before, but how good's Dylan Sheil?
I'm telling you, he's... Yeah, he's the pick. If I was going to raid GWS, he's the pick. Kelly is very fucking close, though. Yeah,
but if you're talking about franchise players, Kelly, phenomenal skill. But to me, he's more the Joel Selwood version, whereas Sheil's
taped together.
Sheil's the Dangerwood, like the Dangerfield.
Bust through.
Yeah.
I think Kelly has more class, but Sheil was just... you can tell him run through a brick wall and he'd do
There's a lot of jud about him. I mean, more than just the shoulder strapping.
Yeah. He is a bit of a cross between Judd and Daniel Kerr.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he looks like Daniel Kerr, is what I'm saying. He's a little bit bigger than Daniel Kerr.
Well, Kerr was underrated. He would have been spectacular, except that he was probably the third best midfielder in the team.
Yeah. He was the third best midfielder in his one. Yeah, he's the only one that didn't end up with a Brownlow. So. All right, so we'll go on to round 12, which I think is guaranteed to be a better round of footy, which is a shame because Hawthorn's not playing. Friday night, the Power and Richmond at Adelaide Oval. Goddamn, the Power would...
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Disappointing last week, and Richmond was so impressive. Yeah. It makes me think this should be closer than it's going to be.
I actually like this match, though, because the way both teams play tends to be just flat-out frantic pace. It'll be entertaining. It'll be a bit scrappy, but anything could happen. It could be a blowout. It could be tight. You don't know, but it's going to be one of those ones where you're going to have a lot of replays.
All right, who are you tipping them by what margin?
Richmond by 12.
Yeah, goals. Obviously the Tigers.
I think the Tigers as well. Although the Power have got to bounce back because even Chad Wingard was getting yelled at by the trainer last week. It might have been Chad Corns, actually, which is kind of normal. But when things are going bad, they focus on those kind of things.
You
need to bounce back.
And I mean, no one listens to Chad Corns anyway, so...
Why should they?
It's going to be a Waterford Ducks back.
Even less so than Kane.
Yeah.
Geelong are hosting North down at Goomba Stadium. That's an interesting matchup.
Yeah.
Who does Jacobs go to?
Well, you're not bothering to tag Ablett because he'll be in the forward line. You'd probably go to Dangerfield. But I don't think Jacobs is bigger than you think, but I don't think he's got the muscle that Dangerfield has. So he'd probably go to Selwood.
That's exactly what I come up with. I'm like, don't be fooled in tagging Ablett.
Yeah. No.
I don't think you can tag Dangerfield. Go for Selwood.
Yeah.
And he's the spiritual leader as well.
Yeah.
He'll bring other people into the game. Yeah. Cut him out.
Well, cut him literally because he'll bleed no matter what.
Exactly. Blood rule four times a game.
Yeah.
The only thing is, like, Jacobs, if he does tag Selwood, he's likely to get reported because Selwood just does that to people.
No, this is true. But this North fans, this is fucking great. We're at a point where you have to actually have that discussion.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
North
yeah.
in Geelong, you're like, look, it's not impossible. And then looking at North's run, we've got a fucking dream run home from the bye. We play Bulldogs twice. We get the return against Brisbane. We get St Kilda. I think we've got another Carlton match too.
Yeah, what about this one?
Yeah.
Just concentrate on this one.
Well, this one, I think it's up for grabs, but I'm going to back my team in.
I tell you what, you got the forward line to push them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tall forwards, and I don't think...
I think we've got the back line to stop them too.
Lockie Henderson's not back yet. I don't think is Harry Taylor's not 100%. So you're going to have somebody like Reece Stanley manning Benny Brown.
Yeah, Harry Taylor's on a test with a bad foot. So Brown's advantage is his ability to leap and grab the ball at the highest point. I don't think even if they play Taylor, he's going to be able to stop him.
If Radaglia comes back in, that's a great matchup for Majak.
Yep.
Because they're both obviously massive units that can run. And I think it might be a stretch for Magic. But if Magic can float off and be the third man up, which he did very well last week, take some nice grabs, there's every chance.
His one grab marking has improved phenomenally in the last 6 months. Because previously, you'd see him go up and had this beautiful leap, and then it'd be a tumble. He might grab it, he might not. But now it's just been two big dukes up there, and the ball just sticks.
Well, he's always been a good run and leap, but it's been the standing in the middle of the pack and not getting bustled out.
He's still not great at that, but...
But he's better.
He is much, much better. And look, he's best 22 at the moment, which is not what we would have said last year or the start of this year.
Look, I think North can get out of the blocks and win this one, but I'm still going to tip the Cats because I'm a little bit conservative. But
I think North have to get out of the blocks fast in order to put the pressure on Geelong and make them question, you know, how this game can be played.
And they're not unbeatable down there.
No. Also, I'm a tentative Geelong in this one.
I think if Waite plays as well, that's a whole nother level. This is as strong as North gets. The only player who might come in is Taylor Garner.
Yeah, you're running out with a very impressive injury list. You know, good luck's yours to take. Why wouldn't you?
Yep.
Giants are hosting the Suns. You know, a week ago, this might have been a contest, but now the Giants are going to put a hurting on the Suns.
Yeah, they're at $1.09, and I'll tell you what, that's the best 9% earn you'll have.
Yep. Won't it be close? St Kilda are hosting Sydney Etihad in the Pride game. Great, because Swans are going to win that easily.
I really want... This is sort of more a St Kilda driven game, I feel. And I really want to give Saints the benefit of the doubt that I'll turn up. But I don't think it matters. I think they could turn up with their best game and Swans are still going
to
be better.
Yeah, I think so too. Buddy's due to, you know, have an absolute blinder under the roof at Etihad.
You say that every week.
I do. Yeah. I love him. Brisbane are hosting Essendon. Oh, geez. Injuries have now caught Brisbane, I think. If they had Charlie Cameron running around, you give them more of a chance. But
they've caught Essendon too, though.
Yeah, not as bad. Like, Essendon have what little depth they have is better than Brisbane's.
Yeah, superstar-wise, like in terms of who do you pick out of Beams or Heppel?
Beams.
Yeah, same.
I don't have to think. Yeah,
no, Beams. Yeah.
So if Beams has a good game, they're every chance.
Yeah, yeah, they are a chance, but I think that Essendon can't play that badly again.
They can't, surely not.
Yeah. I think losing Zaharakis is going to matter a lot to them.
Yeah.
Harris Andrews, he was great last week.
He's had a good year.
He's not going to have to be that good against McKernan.
Maybe not. Probably not.
Probably line up on. I think this is the upset. I think Brisbane are going to show that then, you know, still not on the hard up, but they're going to be able to take care of Essendon.
I might. Selection table will decide this one, I think.
Yeah,
I'm going with. The Dockers are hosting the Crows. Dockers without Fife. Are they going to get a kick?
Two teams you can't tip, but Adelaide, like they're still a much better. They're a much more multi-dimensional side than the Dockers.
Yeah,
particularly when the Dockers' trump cards are gone.
Crows all around.
Yeah, Crows.
100%.
Melbourne and Collingwood. You know what? Footy's going to be the winner on this day.
Yeah.
What I'm just so excited for this game. It's
Queen
actually
stoked.
Queen's birthday, public holiday game that actually means something.
Yeah.
Could have ramifications for finals.
Yeah, and just build up a bit of that rivalry. You know what I mean? It's been a long time since Melbourne been worthwhile of a proper rivalry. So
exactly.
If they can really make this that fight for, I mean, Melbourne are obviously way ahead in the ladder, but if they make this fight for final supremacy, pretty much playing second field at Richmond, then, yeah, I think that's only been good for both teams.
Yeah, this could be the Moe versus the Mullets.
No rain scheduled for Monday too, so this deserves 80-odd thousand.
Yep.
I hope they get it.
If you're a fan of either team, turn up. And the Melbourne supporters are planning on turning up.
Yep.
So what I would love to see...
Get to the members real fucking early.
What I'd love to see is a 50-50 crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, and it could happen. It actually
I hope it does, because if you're a Melbourne supporter, this is your year. Like, you've had a fucking rough trot.
I'm tipping Melbourne, but Collingwood have got some class. If they bring their A game, they are every chance to
I think
cause an upset.
Collingwood are used to playing in front of 90,000 as well.
Yep.
But I'm still in Melbourne. I think they'll have their moments where they're a bit overawed, but they'll take their chance.
Change something, Melbourne.
Yeah. I can't back Collingwood ever. So I've got to go to Melbourne, but I think this is going to be 8 points to Melbourne. And I hope it's three lead changes in the last quarter.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, that'll do us.
All right, peace.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.